All right, it's Wednesday. We're off to CPAC tomorrow. Some of our friends are already there today, but we didn't want to rob you of one more show this week. So, alas, here we are. Mike, Disco, how are you guys doing?
Alas, we are here.
Doing
alas.
Good.
Alas. It's National Polar Bear Day. Also National Protein Day, so eat your meat. Not polar bear, to be clear, though. I don't think PETA would like that very much. Also, I don't think that they're that easy to find or trap.
Global warming, apparently.
Yeah. Maybe they're going to
float. Did you hear the town of Russia, though, that got overrun by polar bears recently?
No.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
They're plentiful and bountiful.
Okay. Polar bears are bountiful in that town. That would be an interesting thing. Like, you get, like, a Planet of the Apes thing going on. Where now.
Well, I think it was Russia. I don't know. Yeah. Could be making that up.
Yeah, I guess no one will ever know. But we have a lot to get to today, and we're going to dive into all that in a second here. But we do have great guests coming on the show today. National Chair for Students for Trump, Ryan Fournier, will be here. Also, President of NeuroCore USA, John Neese, will be here. So a lot to get to. And really, some cool stuff. I mean, well, I guess the first story with Ryan's not cool. A story that popped, and you might have heard of, in Oklahoma at a high school there. So we'll get into that with Ryan later. And then this really cool product that we're going to bring out that I've been wearing all day, Mike wore yesterday. I'll describe what that is. That could sound weird right now. I get that, but it's really cool
you
technology
guys share
to help. We do. We wear machine
shoes. Fantastic machine.
But finally, to finish the show, we will be doing a Florida Man segment later today. So don't miss that. But for now, let's take a trip across the headlines.
Yeah, let's do it.
So you probably saw or at least heard about this. It was pretty brutal in D.C. today. Michael Cohen on the Hill, talking about President Trump. He laid it all out there.
He sure did.
Don't know what's true and what's not true at this point, but we can say this quite certainly. He said a lot. He said that President Trump was a racist. He said that President Trump asked him to talk to his schools and threaten them to not release records. He called him a con man. He talked about, you know, how he ripped into John McCain and said he wasn't a war hero. You were saying how he said stuff about Chicago and
like when they were going to, as he was pertaining to him as President Trump being a racist, he said black people are stupid, and then the next one was only black people could live this way when they were driving through Chicago. Now, that's coming from Cohen, who's obviously had a penchant for lying many times over. And you brought up a good point. Could this be something about like the Kavanaugh hearings? Could you just, as long as you get it out there, people are going to believe whatever he says, and you know, and then he's brought all these documents, so we'll see.
Well, it's hard to know. I mean, it really is hard to know. People are not very smart when it comes to consuming their news. They take whatever is said. Not all of you, but a lot of people do. Hopefully, if you're watching this show, you're not of that variety. But in general, that's a lot of it. There is this, too. Something came out from Fox that Cohen does admit, he admitted under questioning, that he spoke to key Democrats, Schiff, Cummings, and Cummings in preparation for the hearings. So that's pretty damning. That doesn't look good. So it's just so hard to tell with these. These are grandstanding events. Everyone is just, you know, you've got Dems who are gonna lead the guy to water, or gal, if it was a gal, but in this case a guy, Cohen, to water on what they want to say that fits their narrative. And the same thing is going to happen for the conservatives. Obviously, they're going to defend their president. So it's just hard to make, it's hard to know what's up and what's down. And with comments like that, like, I don't like black
people.
That's
just right out of the box. Yeah. This is what it's going to be about, and we're going to make it about this. And, you know, that's the dangerous part about it because, like you said, people don't weigh decisions. They just hear it and they believe it.
Yep.
And so, you know, now he's continually branded as a racist regardless because you can't come back from you can't come back from that because people are going to believe it and always say that.
Right.
But the other thing is nobody's talking about is Trump's in Vietnam.
Right.
So he's not here to, I mean, he can say stuff from over there. But didn't Cohen cancel a couple of times and all of a sudden this is a perfect timing to have this hearing? Let's take away from the summit. Yep. Let's take away from denuclearization. Let's take away from a couple other things by having this guy on here, the biggest news story of the year.
But Trump knows what he's doing, and he's gonna, you know, he's the way he works the meat and everything. He's gonna make it work in his advantage. You know it.
We'll see.
But these are big loaded statements that again I don't think are probably factual. I know people who know him. I don't know him personally. I can't say anything and vouch for the guy, but the statements that were made today were so strong. I'm not saying it's like the Jussie Smollett thing, but when you make statements that are that over the top, it's like most people, there are not many people who fall in the category who think that way.
Right,
so
exactly.
To say that you are that and you have gotten through all the vetting and process of getting here and this is the first time we're hearing this, it's a little too good to be true for someone who's already going to prison and is probably getting some sort of a deal on the back end, you know, to say these things. Again, I'm not saying he's a perfect person, but we're probably in the middle, people. It's probably somewhere in between.
Well, yeah, like we were saying this morning in our meeting, that – you know, if this was in private and they came out with a report with what was said, how could we believe the report? And then we were saying, well, if this was public, you probably wouldn't be able to believe what they're saying anyway, because they're just trying to cover their asses, you know? Yeah. So it's, you know, we're going to have to take everything with a grain of salt and see what happens.
Yeah. I would love some salt right now, too, right. By the way. I'm starving.
Some pink Himalayan salt?
So, yeah, that's the only way to go. Yeah. Meetings are ongoing, speaking to the president in Hanoi, between he and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Their hope, of course, is that their budding personal relationship can break a stalemate over the North's nuclear weapons and end more than 70 years of hostility. This is a quote: "This relationship is the biggest single driving force in crafting better relations," said Harry J. Kazianis, the director of Korean Studies for the Center of National Interest. "Clearly, there needs to be a more solid foundation for dialogue than Kim and Trump. No two people alone have broad enough shoulders to take on the weight of such challenging issues spread out over 70 years. In Singapore, they pledged to work towards denuclearization and permanent peace on the Korean Peninsula. While steps have been taken toward that, North and South Korea do remain, technically speaking, at war since their 1950 to 1953 conflict, one that ended, of course, with us backing the South. And here we are. So both sides feeling a lot of pressure to agree on certain, you know, measures and things that lead towards denuclearization, you know, change out there, economic change, you know, end of that war. So I keep saying this, and I feel like a broken record, but maybe I'm being too rational here, but I think any kind of progress coming out of this meeting should be seen as productive. Like, this is a baby right. step kind of a thing. This is not overnight. Everything changes, and the Korean Peninsula is a great place, and it's like, you know, what's sure. that? Mabel's,
I don't know.
What's the Pleasantville? I can't think
Pleasantville.
Of it. Yeah, but so you're not, it doesn't go there overnight.
No, but I'm afraid now this is going to overshadow anything that they're doing, and I still feel the Cohen thing is going to take over that whole thing. I think all the reporters over there now are going to be focused on this
yeah.
instead of this next step of denuclearization and things like that.
Yeah.
So regardless of what this person is, hey, I guess that's secondary, denuclearization secondary to personal issues.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it's going to turn into.
War is over. There's peace across right. the globe, but someone maybe said something,
right.
Which, if true, of course, is awful, and you should never, you know, but like that's not, that you're absolutely right.
Talking about nuclear war.
Right.
You're talking about millions of deaths and destruction and, you know, just obvious things of, I don't know, but it's infuriating to a certain extent because, as you will see, this is what will happen.
Well, another thing that got blocked in this news cycle, got a little bit of attention yesterday, but it's going to certainly lose steam today, is on Monday, Senate Democrats blocked a Republican bill that would have handed down prison time to physicians who did not attempt to save the lives of babies born during failed abortions, i.e. a living baby. All except three Democrats in the Senate voted in favor of allowing infanticide to go unpunished, claiming the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act was a far-right attempt to limit a woman's access to abortion. To be clear, though, for those of you who are confused, politicians included, this is not about a woman's rights, though, as particularly at this stage. This is about another human being. This is not children still living in the womb, which, by the way, they're living at conception. But we're talking about born babies here who have come out of their mother and are now alive, even though that was not the intent of the operation that we're talking about in this bill. Right. And they're alive. So this is a huge difference. Five ranking Democrats and presidential hopefuls were among those who voted down the bill. Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Kirsten Gillibrand, Kamala Harris, and Amy Klobuchar. So on that same thread, I mean, well, let's stop there for a second, actually. This is a really damning state. We always say this is a damning state. There's a lot of things that show we're a damning state. We've talked multiple times. We talked with Jesse Kelly earlier in the week about how this empire is not going to last if we keep going down this track. Yeah. And I believe that wholeheartedly, as much as I hate saying it. But this is really, when you can straight-faced sit there and say, I'm okay with this, yeah. you know, that life that has come out is not valuable, go ahead and do it. And the, you know, the whole thing is just an absolute tragedy to me.
Yeah, it's, putting morals and values aside, I don't have anything to comment on it because I have a firm belief in this stuff. And, you know, I just don't see how. We talked about last time, you know, weeks ago, that you just can't imagine what they're saying because they can't see another side. They yeah. don't see it. We say, how crazy is that? This is like just, you know, have something, have values, have something. But they fail to see that every single time. Yeah. And you can't get to them. That's no. the problem. You cannot get to their way of thinking because they don't think anything other than how they do.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the scary part about it.
Yeah, I just feel like it, as a doctor, it goes against the oath that they give, you know, like that they're give no harm.
What do the doctors think about it?
You know what I mean? Like they're going against that.
Well, I think in this case, the ones who are doing it are...
Well, obviously, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
But in the whole, just like Disco just said, the
Hippocratic Oath.
Hippocratic Oath.
Yeah. But it's the same thing. I mean, you've got these same senators and folks in Congress on different bills that are like this who have voted this down, have taken the oath to obviously defend our Constitution and our country and this, that, and the other.
People
you would think when you take an oath that's of that kind of importance, you'd have the same moral constitution and baseline that's required to be a person that should be serving in those types of roles. But instead, you've got half that just say, not a big deal. And it's kind of similar. Like, the way I look at it, and the only reason I'm going to bring up this next point is on that same thread, co-host of The View, Meghan McCain, got into it with fellow co-host Sunny Hostin. I don't know if you say her name, if that's the right way, but over infanticide. And she said if the Democratic Party wants to be the party of infanticide, it's their choice. And McCain is, of course, has said she's pro-life. She says a lot of things that are against conservatives and this, that, and the other. But she's pro-life. And in an attempt to rebuff McCain's claim, Hostin pointed out that the Born Alive Infants Protection Act of 2002 was the reason that she thinks the Dems blocked it, kind of going with the line of thinking that another bill wasn't necessary. But things got a lot hotter. McCain said this, and this is where I was going with this. She said, quote, "I thought you were a pro-lifer like me, so you think a baby born from a botched abortion should be put down like a dog or a cat." And that's kind of how this feels. Like, when you talk to them about these issues, you talk to the left about these issues, you talk to these senators who voted it down, you know, people from Planned Parenthood, that's the sense you get from them is they're just looking at this as a simple, put it down. Yeah.
Right.
Like, I don't get how you can sleep, go to sleep at night.
And yet again, I just bring up the same point. Yeah. There's no way to address it with them. You can't. You cannot get on that level with them.
No. It's terrifying. So moving on, President Trump in the news for this, again, something that's not going to come up, and if it does, it's going to go in his favor still, but by a vote of 254 to 182, House Democrats and 13 Republicans voted in favor of blocking President Trump's declaration of a national emergency on the U.S. border with Mexico last night. The Senate now has 18 days to take up the measure, where current tallies show Trump holding on by only one single vote. Republican Senators Tillis of North Carolina and Murkowski of Alaska, as well as Collins of Maine, have all vowed to block the emergency declaration, which could provide funding for Trump's wall. Should one more, of course, you can do the easy math. If I can do the math, you can do the math. So if one more GOP senator, Drew Math, defects, the measure would land on Trump's desk, likely forcing a veto from the president. Notably, just for everyone's awareness, the House fell short of gaining enough votes to secure a two-thirds veto-proof majority. So at the end of the day here, he declared this. He's going to have the opportunity to continue to do it, because at the end, even if the Senate does get one more person who comes to the other side, you're just saying, hey, here's the bill. We've talked about this. Here's the bill, Mr. President, that takes away your authority to do what you want. Please sign it. He's going to say, hell no. Like, who in their right mind thinks, like, I don't understand why they're wasting their time.
It's just to show it's politics.
It's politics.
So who's for it, who's against it, and there it is.
Yeah.
It has now, bearing whatsoever on how this is going to go forward, but it's just out there to say these people voted, these people didn't.
Yeah.
Call them out.
Now, do they send, like, a lonely intern with that bill? Like, hey, and he's like shaking and scared. You know?
Do you think he has still the big veto? Is it like a big, a red stamp with an X through it and just pounds it on his desk?
They need to be like a big button that, like, lights go down and, like, sirens
Streamers.
Start going off.
Boom!
Veto! Veto! That's how I picture it happening.
That'd be great.
We should be the ones who put that in the White House. If
yes,
we don't
definitely.
Have it.
We'll install it.
We'll install it.
So video of children eating trash out of the back of a garbage truck, something we've seen a lot in Venezuela as of late, was apparently one step too far for Venezuelan dictator Nicolas Maduro. Jorge Ramos, an anchor with Univision Network, along with six of his staffers, were detained at Maduro's palace for 2 hours yesterday and were in the dark after an interview with the dictator turned ugly. Ramos later shared on Twitter what happened, and here's a summary. Ramos, who was released after 2 hours, said Maduro was upset with questions about fraudulent elections, harassment, and violence against peaceful protesters. He was also asked whether his title should really be dictator. After looking at the video of the hungry children, Ramos said Maduro just lost it. He couldn't stand it. Ramos said he didn't want to continue the interview, and he tried to close my iPad. They confiscated all of our cameras, all of our videos, etc. It's just interesting to me. I can't get inside the head of a dictator. That's just a tough place to go. A socialist dictator, by the way. Socialist. But you've seen that Joel Freiwa and others have given us footage of people eating out of trash cans and dumpsters for months and months, well ahead of Juan Guaido taking over and opposition getting more serious. This has been going on for a while. But you don't want people to see what you've done to your country because it makes you look bad. I mean, this is an obvious thing, right? That would make me look bad. Well, yeah. Everything that's happening there looks bad, bro. I mean, that's just that's the reality. Yeah.
And his days are going to be numbered now. Blocking the aid, what happened last weekend, and having the National Guard and all this other stuff, blocking protesters and things like that. I mean, it's got to be numbered. He's stopping diplomatic channels and with other countries, and it's just like, okay.
Yeah.
It's like he's in his bubble right now. He's in his palace and sitting there going, how much time do I have left?
Yeah. Good luck, buddy. Yeah, your time, your days are definitely numbered, as Mike said there. On that same thread, though, in Venezuela, according to data, there's been a major failure by the broadcast networks in their coverage of South America, the South American country's economic collapse. Namely, they're not mentioning socialism, like, seriously at all. The broadcast networks have reported on the hunger, the desperation, the struggle for power in Venezuela, all of that. But the reports refuse to name the reason and ideology behind the suffering that's going on there in the country 93% of the time. That's a big figure. So the word socialism or socialist was left out of 93% in 44 out of 47 reports about Venezuela. That included stories from ABC, CBS, NBC Evening News. All of that just being left out very conveniently. And people, to me, that is a big problem. Like
it's socialist, the word.
Yeah.
AOC and everybody else in this new Green Deal and Warren and Klobuchar and all the
Sanders
and you know, Kamala.
Yeah.
Same thing. Socialist. But and you're telling me that the news is not behind any of this.
Yeah.
We're just reporting the facts, people.
There's no you want collusion, folks. Right. Look
you
no
got
further.
It right there.
You've
yeah.
got it right there. And the mainstream media and the Democratic Party are all about taking down the president, who, by the way, won by election. He didn't take over.
And you know what's going to happen? All these networks, if this country does go to that direction, state TV.
Yeah. Yep.
Bye-bye, ABC. Bye-bye, CBS,
yeah.
NBC.
Yeah.
State TV now.
It's
look at Russia.
Yeah.
Figure that out.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
You
please,
weep, you sow.
Please cut through the bull crap out there, folks, and see what is going on here. We're not conspiracy theorists here. We're just realists, and there's some real issues going on. Not all of it. Is stuff that's unsolvable. We can fix a lot of this by just having common sense dialogue and conversations. But when the scales are tilted this much in one side's favor, it really is scary, and it's going to be really important. I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to people digging for the truth and then people getting out in 2020 and voting for whatever side you want. You choose your path. This is a Hardy's book, adventure book here. You choose your destination. But
and if you want socialism, digging in the trash.
Digging in the trash, yeah, yeah. Maybe you find, maybe you get lucky and you find what was that? An eclair like Costanza did in Seinfeld.
Yes.
I don't know, but that's about as good as it gets.
He's like, oh.
Yeah, I love when he gets caught. It's good stuff. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we return, we will be joined by the National Chair of Students for Trump, Ryan Fournier. Stick around. Welcome back, folks. If you didn't see, police were summoned to Santa Fe High School in Edmond, Oklahoma on Monday after a student participating in Spirit Week Hat Day fundraiser chose to wear a MAGA hat. We can all see where this went. After that, he was then assaulted by an older fella and a hall monitor there at the school. Take a look.
Come here.
Take this shit off.
So that happened. Since then, the 18-year-old student name has not been released, has been issued a ticket by the school resource officer, and a mediation process is reportedly the next step. This from the school spokesperson, quote, given that hats were allowed at school yesterday as a part of the week-long fundraising events, there was no specific dress code violation. The student's choice to grab a classmate's property and knock his hat off did, however, violate the school's discipline policy. In response, Edmond Santa Fe High School administrators are working simultaneously with Edmond Police and have addressed the incident, with swift and immediate disciplinary action. The school district honors students' First Amendment rights, but must at the same time be vigilant in teaching and supporting the students as they learn how to best respectfully express their opinions. So basically, this is just more anti-red. You know, the whole thing's a mess. What I want to do is I want to bring in a friend to talk about this here. Here is the National Chair of Students for Trump, Ryan Fournier. Ryan, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Drew.
So I'm sure we're all sick of seeing these. It's just ridiculous. But we're seeing this way, way more often. What are your thoughts on this particular instance of the anti-MAGA hot hat, can't talk today, aggression?
Yeah, you know, I get these videos ever so often, and this month has been off the charts. I think I've received about 6 videos of stuff like this happening to students across the country. You know, the school's response was decent, but I think that there's more that could be done. That was borderline assault. And it should be, it's reprehensible, the behavior, but it should be handled in a fashion a little bit more, hardline than this. We're basically giving these people pats on the back, telling them, go home. They're not getting in trouble for it. Recently there was one at the mall, Overland Park in Kansas. The kid got cursed out by an employee, and eventually the employee got fired. But it was ridiculous to see the responses of the people in the store and the manager in the store. This is a true hate crime. What is going on? What happened with Jussie Smollett? The fake hoax that we've seen. That's not a hate crime. This is an actual hate crime. And it's not being persecuted like one.
Yeah, no, I agree. I feel like they had like a little powwow and were like, what's the most minimal response we can say here? Because we're total douchebags if we don't call out this kid for acting the way he did. But we also probably don't like that this individual chose to wear a MAGA hat. And that's what we got, was that minimalistic statement that again, as you said, it's saying this other kid's wrong, but it's also saying underhandedly this kid shouldn't wear that hat because it's offensive to other people. Do you think that this has turned into not just a symbol of Trump, the MAGA hat that is, but also violence for the left? I mean, is this how it's treated? Like, as soon as someone sees that, it's an opportunity to become violent and argumentative? Is that basically where we're at, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely agree with that. When you don't call out these acts for what they are, which is a hate crime, harassment, assault in some instances, when you don't call them out to the highest degree and hold these people responsible, the left sees it as a token opportunity to go out on their own reconnaissance and treat people like this who are wearing their MAGA hats. I mean, I spoke to the family, not in this video, I've yet to find out who this student was, but I spoke to the family in the Van Store video, which was really big over Twitter and over Instagram, and her son bought the hat on his own. He wanted to support Donald Trump on his own. The mother was apolitical, but just wanted to support her son. And she said that he's been bullied multiple times for wearing the hat. People pick on him in school because he's worn it before, even on days he's not wearing it. And literally just getting bullied all the time. And that was the last straw for that instance. You know, people are getting bullied. And, it's ridiculous to see that this is where political discourse has come to, what it's come to in our country. You know, whatever happened to having a logical debate and discussion? Yeah. Whatever happened to agree to disagree? Why do we got to harass people? Why do we got to rip their stuff, throw stuff at them, take their hats off, rip their MAGA cape? Why is this, an issue now? We need to hold these people accountable and we need to call them out. And that's what I do almost each and every day, especially when these videos are sent to me. We've got to call them out.
Yeah, no, exactly. It does need to be called out. It needs to be addressed. It's not just a step too far, it's several steps too far in where this has gone. And the ideology is coming in so many different ways. You've got these violent and aggressive encounters, but you've also got, we talked about this week, a young girl's homework assignment that was trying to, I'm sure you saw that, coach her towards saying negative things about President Trump, followed then by a question where she was supposed to use a vocabulary word about, Barack Obama and how he was this amazing person, yada, yada. But so my thing here, too, is between adults, everyone needs to be back at the agree to disagree standpoint. My favorite conversations with colleagues overseas at night at the fire pit after operations and everything were done is, you know, we can go back and forth. We can do it over a beer, and we can do it at the fire pit and then agree to disagree at the end and go get stuff done the next day together. But, right. You know, between adults is one thing. Now this is all becoming more popular and happening more frequently with our nation's youth, not just on college campuses, but you see high schools, you see middle schools, you see all this. Where do you, from your optic and from the circles that you run in, where do you see this starting? Is it hostility at home, you know, hearing it from the parents? Is it all from social media? Like, where do we start to nip this in the bud a little bit?
I think a lot of it comes from social media. And that's simply because I could go on Twitter right now and I could look at my verified mentions tab, the wonderful coveted tab that you go to be attacked by the left, called a racist by every blue check out there who isn't a Republican, which is a lot of them. And they came out and they replied to those videos. They replied to the content, people, blue check marks, media, you name it, calling, you know, the student, you know, thanking, you know, the other student for attacking him and taking his hat off, calling the MAGA hat a symbol of hate. You know, these people purport this image. They write about it. They have this inclined bias when they're writing articles, when they're publishing content. The headlines are swayed in a certain direction. People are seeing skewed news that is painting Trump as a horrible person. And it's not the case. And so a lot of it's with the headlines. A lot of it's in the schools. You better believe it. There are most definitely students in their schools talking bad about Trump, calling him names. Trying to be cool about it. And it starts in multiple places, but I think social media is the biggest breeding ground, especially Twitter, for the hate, for the division. And it's really sown into this country after this election with social media and how big of a you know, it played into it all. But yeah. I would definitely say social media. You can go on there right now and you can see some of the most hateful stuff. And people read it and they learn from it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And they take that to the bank.
Yeah, they do. The conversations that are on there are so filled with anger. And someone, you know, we got into a spat last week, some folks from OpsLens and some of our other show hosts and some of our writers, and everyone was kind of chiming in. And the statement that kind of started it was that, and other people have said it, didn't start here, but like other people have said this, but that Trump supporters in America are some of the most persecuted people there are. You know, everyone talks about all this equality and how we got to take care of this group or that group, and President Trump's not doing it. But they're, in the meantime, not seeing that they're throwing all this hate back at Trump supporters, you know, personal comments. It's not just all about Trump. As soon as you say anything that is supportive of Trump or, you know, goes after like this kid in the video, you are an awful person, and the amount of insults and hell that is thrown your way is really off the charts, and it's ridiculous, and I think that it's crazy to me that people are not seeing their own actions. Like we need to you know, be more appreciative of each other and this, that, and the other. And as soon as you disagree with them, you are absolutely thrown under the bus, called everything under the sun, and it's a sad, sad state of affairs in America. And I think you're right. I think it is sewn into the fabric of America at that social media level, and everyone lives on their damn phones these days. I mean, this is like only time of the day that I'm not on my phone, seeing what everyone else is saying because we're doing this show. But that's everyone.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I think you know the left is very good at you know, eating their own words, and you know, especially with this whole scenario with the Jussie Smollett. With these instances with the kid in the mall, the kid at Berkeley who was literally punched in the face for holding up a sign that said fake hate crime, something about fake hate crimes, you know, makes real hate crimes unknown or something like that. And, you know, gets punched in the face by somebody. They're still looking for the guy. They haven't even found him yet.
Yeah.
You know, it's incredible. It really is, you know, that we can see all of what's happening on social media, which is horrible. I mean, I can go through my DMs and see probably 3 or 4 death threats right now if I wanted to. You know, and I don't think I'm that edgy of a person. You know, I try to be pretty chill. I try to have debates. I try to have discussions with people. But it's incredible that they are going out of their way assaulting somebody and thinking that it's okay because they're doing it to a Trump supporter. And they think that law enforcement, which for the most part backs Donald Trump, are going to, you know, brush it off as if it's okay because it's a Trump supporter that you just, you know, assaulted or took their hat. You know, and something really funny that happened the other day. I'm sure people have seen the video where the guy's sitting in the bar, the girl takes his hat. Well, it turns out the girl that took his hat was arrested at the end of the video here illegally from Brazil. She was just detained by ICE yesterday. So karma is coming back for these people. Karma's coming back. And, you know, it's absolutely hilarious to see the hypocrisy. And they're scared. They really are. A lot of them are scared. You know, I don't know what for, but I think that the left has created a lot of fear in the hearts and minds of a lot of Democrats, thinking the world's going to come to an end because Donald Trump is president. And, you know, we may get 4 more years. And you know what? That's going to make them explode. Liberal heads are going to explode everywhere if that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and according to AOC, we only have 12 years left to live. Anyways, last question before we run here. Do you think conservatives stop wearing the MAGA hat? Like, do they, with all this going on, and I'm not suggesting they do at all, but what are your thoughts on that? Should people maybe leave it at home more, or do you stand up and wear it even more proud?
No, not at all. I you know, sometimes I wear my MAGA hat to the gym. And I live in a pretty southern area, so, you know, I get hate maybe every now and then, but not often. But no, I, you know, my message to conservatives, especially young conservatives, because these are the ones who are seeing a lot of the hate, a lot of the bullying, a lot of the, you know, the negative aspects that have come from actually wearing this hat. This reminds me of the Vietnam War. You know, this, you know, the symbol, you know, symbolicism behind, you know, protesting the war. You know, you have the right to do that. The government can't stop you. Nobody should be able to just go and stop you and take away your right of freedom of speech, freedom of expression. And that's what this is. And people are getting literally attacked, beat up because they're wearing a red hat. Yeah. That means nothing besides making this country stronger, bringing jobs back to America, strengthening our immigration system, working, getting fair trade deals, you know, lowering unemployment. I mean, there's a plethora of things that, you know, bringing the stocks up, you know, helping our economy, boosting, you know, getting raises for people, lowering taxes. That's what's making America great again. And it's unfortunate that the Make America Great Again message has been almost, you know, washed over with symbols of hate when it's not that. So yeah. I tell young students all the time, like, wear your MAGA hat, wear it proud. If people are attacking you, people are bullying you, get it on footage, send it to us. We're going to make them famous in the way that they don't want to be.
Absolutely. So, I love it.
That's my word of peace.
Yeah, I love it. Well, thanks for what you do. I love it. Where's the best place for people to follow you?
Yeah, my Twitter and Instagram. It's Ryan A. Fournier.
Awesome. Well, folks, be sure to do it. Ryan, thanks so much for being here. We'll look forward to having you back again.
Thanks for having me, Drew. You have a good one.
You got it. On the other side of the break, we'll be talking to the president of NeuroCore USA, John Nice. Stick around. All right, welcome back. In 1995, John Nice's ankle was shattered in a head-on collision. 4 months later, he used a new technology called the Internet, something we talked about. We call it the World Wide Web, the Internet, whatever you want to call it, to research bioelectronics. He was attempting to avoid having a talus joint fusion due to a non-healing talus bone. Studies had shown that electrical stimulation could restart the process of hard bone growth. And spoiler alert, it worked. So he is now the president of NeuroCore USA, and he joins us now. John, good to have you.
Thanks, Drew. Appreciate you having me on.
Well, it's great to have you. And I got to tell you, so John and the team, for you guys in the audience, they sent us the NeuroCore USA MyTouch bioelectronic therapy system, and it's awesome. I've been wearing it all day. I don't know if you can overuse it, but I certainly maybe have come close to that. But the product's a portable bioelectrical device for stopping pain and repairing tissue. Again, something I've been doing all along the way today, and it's been awesome. So it's been used by high-end pro athletes, and it's now just becoming available to the general public. But let's start here, John. For the audience's sake and for my sake, I've got a rather small brain. How does bioelectrical therapy work?
It's essentially, it works on three levels. In the nervous system, we work with the peripheral nervous system. And essentially, you've got signals, step on attack, some bioelectronics are sending that to the brain to ascertain that you indeed stepped on that attack. peripheral nerve stimulation will actually impede that signal, get to the pain gate in the brain, and it affects the same neurosynapses that opiates do. So it's keenly interesting, but obviously electronics, manipulating an electrical system with electronics is easier and cleaner and leaner than chemistry.
Interesting. Okay. And so I mentioned athletes have used this. Is that kind of the typical, or who are your primary clients for this to, like, so far?
Interestingly enough, that's where the resurgence of bioelectrical therapy started. Athletes started to figure out that this was extremely powerful. Back in, I think it was as soon as in the 68 Olympics, there was a Canadian trainer that did some really interesting things with neuromuscular stimulation and putting up big gains for athletes. In the last 20 years, it's been kind of locked in every pro locker room, every college, you know, D1, D2 program. Anybody that's got a trainer is using these technologies already. It really hasn't been out in the marketplace. It's interesting that more people don't know about it.
Yeah. Well, it's fascinating technology. I've used it some in rehab for sports before I went into the Intel community, and then in the Intel community, some of our different medics and trainers would have some stuff similar to, not as awesome as this product here that you guys have, but the same kind of thing, and it really was interesting. And that kind of brings me to my next question. So, you know, I come from the Intel, you know, collectively at OpsLens, we come from the Intel law enforcement and military communities where people are struggling with, you know, a lot of issues, PTSD, which is kind of its own thing, but a lot of physical injuries as well. And typically, the VA or different organizations are just throwing drugs and all sorts of ineffective rehab plans in many, many cases here. But so how does this help repair significant injuries that warfighters may have endured?
It can help with the rehab. The injury part of it is really interesting because we have what E3 technology. We've actually got the peripheral nerve stimulation, which is primarily formulations targeted at pain. We've got the neuromuscular stimulation, which is to fire muscle groups, could be used for conditioning, you can relax muscles too. And then microcurrent, which is fascinating. It has some really deep implications with injury recovery, wound healing, post-surgical, because it actually works at the cellular level. So the microcurrent, they're microvolts. They're a thousandth of a millivolt. But it does some really interesting things, and the studies globally are proving out that it can actually shorten the inflammation phase of the healing interval.
That's interesting.
Cascade. It's cool. On the pain side, obviously, it's keenly interesting because it's viable. And with what's happening right now with our little opiate problem, I don't know if you saw the segment on another newscast Sunday night with regard to what's going on there, but there's some big changes obviously in the way people treat pain. And this has always been viable. Interestingly enough, you know, it worked for me in 1995 and I probably use it 150 times a year. I'm not that good on my mountain bike.
Well, so how long does it take to start to see results with this? You go to NeuroCore USA, you buy one of these, you know, one of the MyTouches. How long does it take to start to see results?
For most folks, the peripheral nerve stimulation can be within minutes. I mean, you're literally blocking those synapses in the brain. I shouldn't say block, because like any other pain therapy, it doesn't turn it off like a switch. However, 70 to 80% reductions in minutes with the peripheral nerve stimulation. Interesting thing happens with the microcurrent. We're not exactly sure why. It may have to do with the inflammation backing down so quickly, or at least the cells moving some of that water quickly. Mm-hmm. But it has a similar impact. And it's cumulative. So after you do this 3, 4, 8 times, everybody's different. Every type of pain is different. But it can have some really interesting impacts that all of a sudden, hey, it doesn't hurt and you're on your way.
Yeah. Well, so I think it's fascinating. And again, sticking with kind of the folks from our community, like even without super traumatic injuries and missing limbs, you know, some of the severe stuff that you see, veterans have a higher rate than the average civilian of onset, early onset arthritis, similar to athletes who you know, their bodies just go through the ringer. How does this help with issues like that?
You're spot on. I own two of them. I have One son was 82nd Airborne. I have a Ranger. Obviously, both those MOSs are hard on your knees. That's one application, but you know, we all move into osteoarthritis. I played hard. I'm getting older. It hurts to be us.
Yeah.
And so all of those are applications where, you know, our big thing is medical devices can be used as effectively and as appropriately as chemistry. So, and they can be used together. But the bottom line is there's a pretty big vacuum in the market. In fact, it's reported on Sunday night to be $7 to $9 billion. It's going to be coming out as a result of what's happening with opioids, and people need answers for how to manage pain.
Yeah,
especially our military.
For sure. Well, and what I like
I was going to put in one stat: 5.6 million vets under care right now, if I'm not mistaken, and more than half of them wrestle with chronic pain.
That's if you're not in the service, didn't serve before, don't have someone who that you know and love is. That's very true, and it's just the reality. This is what these bodies go through. This is the life they live, and there's issues on the back end. So I love this. We've got to run here, but I love that you can have this on while you're working. Again, I was working, prepping for the show today, working on some other stuff, and you've got this on, and you can feel it going to work for you, which is pretty awesome. And he's got his. I love it. You've got yours on. So folks, we want you to go and check this out. We think this is really important. One of the things you can do is go get yourself one, go get one of your loved ones one, and you can go and do that at neurokorusa.com. That's NUROKOR-USA.com. And these guys have been so kind that they've given an OpsLens promo code. You can put in OpsLens all lowercase, correct, John?
Correct.
All lowercase, and you'll get 20% off this awesome product that is super, super helpful and obviously improves your health. So be sure you do that. Again, neurokorusa-usa.com. OpsLens is the promo code. You'll get 20% off. John, thanks for everything you're doing. Thanks so much for being here today with us, and we'll look forward to having you back.
Thanks, Drew. Appreciate it.
Okay, so awesome talking to John. Definitely, guys, go get this. We said it a million times. I'm going to say it again. Go to neurokorusa.com, put in promo code OpsLens, and you will get 20% off. Going to set that right here for now. But before we go today, I wanted to share this story with you. Some things only happen, as we always describe, in Florida. It's just the truth. This is just, it's science, okay? This is bioelectrical science. This is like just
Florida science.
Florida science. So this next story is a prime example of that, and we call the segment Florida Man. Just keeps going. The longest harmonica riff ever. I don't know. Is it a riff, like a guitar thing?
Sure.
Or harmonica? Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
So, according to a police report from Pascal County Sheriff's Office, officers responding to a disturbance call made contact with a woman who told them her boyfriend had hit her in the head with a cookie. A red mark could be seen on the woman's forehead by her hairline, said the report, which added that the victim said she was hit with a hard piece of cookie. Huh. So not the soft piece. Like, it's not like the chocolate chip or something like that. It was a hard piece of the cookie.
I didn't realize you can get thrown in jail for throwing something like that, a piece of food.
Well, so
night in the clinker.
The arrest affidavit says the alleged suspect, Wade Allen Smith, admitted to throwing the cookie at her without consent. The type of cookie is unclear. And for now, folks, that's how the cookie crumbles. Not too much.
Yeah. That's the way the cookie crumbles.
No, but I love this. Perfect Florida story. So can you imagine being a law enforcement officer, and you see this in Pasco County a lot. You see it in a lot of counties in Florida, not just to pick on Pasco. But why are we here?
Walk in, you walk out.
He threw a cookie at me.
The cop just went, picked it up. No, he didn't.
Yep.
See ya.
I just can't imagine like sitting there taking the report like,
no. I mean, I guess it is assault.
Cookie.
It is assault, but yeah. I mean, we're talking.
Who has not done something at their wife?
I don't.
Well, food wise,
yeah.
Food fights.
Food fights. No one? Okay, yeah. I mean,
come on.
I mean, that's a.
I've never thrown anything out of like. I've never thrown anything out
I'm
of
not
malicious
talking
intent.
Bricks. Out of anger. Talking like rice and Jello and fun stuff.
Do you make Jello at the house?
I'm not going.
Do you guys have like nightly food fights?
Yeah.
Haven't you ever had a food fight?
Yeah. Yeah. But the way you phrased it, it was, haven't you ever thrown something at your wife? I mean, that sounds like we should probably call in a therapist. Yeah, you're right. Actually our HR person, right. So we need to bring
you
in.
You actually were a cop. So you probably should be doing that. Yeah. And I should probably stop talking on TV.
Yeah. All you're doing is incriminating yourself further. You've not only said that you've thrown stuff at your wife, but now you've brought up that you use Jell-O for God knows what. But we'll figure that out. Sorry if you're watching this. But interesting. Interesting story. It's perfect Florida story. We're not going to do more than one, but we wanted to share at least one with you today because it's just a good one.
I mean, it goes back to how the lady cut the one guy with the pork chop like a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So. What's it with the food?
I don't know.
It's food combat.
Yeah.
It's food combat. That's just what it is.
Like Tom said, Florida man has an issue with conflict resolution.
Yes.
I guess it ends with food.
Yes, that's very true. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that comment back up.
Yeah.
That's a great quote by Tom Cunningham. All right, for now, that's all the time we have. Big thanks to you, the audience, for joining us, and Ryan Fournier and John Nice for being here as well. We will be, as we said at the top of the show, at CPAC the rest of the week and back Monday to catch you up on all of that, plus the headlines that have happened in between. We'll let you know where things are with this Cohen mess, the summit, everything in between. I'm sure there's going to be more than enough to talk about. For now, have a great rest of the week. And remember, when it comes to your news and political commentary, experience matters. See you next week.